I'm a St. Mark's guy, have been for a very long time. Why I love studying the Bible is because it seems that as soon as I start reading, I get questions. I read a few lines, so I have to question it, say, well, does it really say that? Is that what it means? Where does that come from? What's that referred to? What's the background to that? Why would Jesus say that? And to me, you can't read the Bible and just say, oh yeah, that's what it says. Because it isn't like that. It's so full of layers. You dig out and you find more and more and more of it. And what I was going to do first was actually get everyone to stand up. We're just sitting here time after time, somebody spouting from the front, and it gets a little bit, you know, a bit tiresome, doesn't it? Okay, that's great. You probably, most of you know most of us, and you realise that we're not actually theologians. But I think sometimes that can be good, because we say, so what? If you hear a sermon from the front, what does that mean? Okay, it's good to know that God loves us, blah, 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 but so what? And I hope that we're going to actually root things into reality, and that this is going to be an interactive thing. That's the idea, that's what David was saying earlier, that you probably need a notebook as well as your Bible so that you can write down, hold on, I don't like that. I'm going to ask about that afterwards. And so we're going to have time to actually air our thoughts, grievances or whatever. And also I hope that this time together is going to be a time where you say, well, that bit's a bit boring when you do that, or actually I don't want people walking in front of me when they're getting a drink, whatever. You know, this is a time at the beginning of the series to say something and say, well, actually what I like about it is this, and oh, I couldn't quite hear. I'm hoping that we've kind of got the sound right, we've changed things a bit. Because it's really important we clearly hear what everyone's saying, and then we can comment on it. Okay, sit down and relax again. I worked out, I've probably listened to at least 4,000 sermons in my time. I'm not sure how many of them benefited me. Certainly a lot of them did. But one of the ways that I really benefit from a sermon is when it makes me question and go back and actually read the passage again and dig into it and find out what it says. Many of you will know Bishop Tom Wright, or N.T. Wright when he's being very theological, and one of his books is Surprised by Scripture. And that's how I find the Bible. It's always surprising me. I was brought up originally in quite a strict evangelical tradition. It was pretty much Calvinism. And I actually, without understanding too much about it, I fell out a bit with them because I thought, no, this isn't right. This isn't right. I don't know quite why, but it isn't. And as you read Scripture more and more, you actually can understand, hold on, this is the problem with this. This is the problem with this. And what God's actually saying is this. And it's great to be able to share those things. I think one thing that makes Christianity stand out is not just that Jesus was God, it's that we can question everything, and we should question everything. We shouldn't just expect somebody to say, this is the truth, and just say, okay, that's it, and go away again. The great thing is we can ask questions, because Christianity is true, because the Bible is true, you can ask questions, and you don't need to be afraid of people asking questions. And I hope that the more that we know about the Bible, the more comfortable we'll be at being able to answer other people's questions and to question other people when they say things that aren't right. There's lots of things I can say. A few tips that I would pass on about reading the Bible is, one is, have one translation that you particularly get on with and use that as your main source, because the trouble with having so many opportunities now to have so many different versions, to have parallel texts, to read exact translations or, I've forgotten the word, the other kind where you're interpreting it, is that you can't remember specific passages. You can't remember specific verses or phrases because you've read them in different ways. They've been put differently. And so it may just be me, but I find that I don't remember things because I've read them in so many different ways. So have one major source, but also have all the others. There's access to so much stuff now that's really good. And use it. When you say, well, I don't understand what this says, look up in other versions. The Message Bible might help you. It often doesn't help me, I have to say. But it may well help you. Or you may say, well, actually, that's an interpretation I hadn't thought of before, but that's not quite how I'm reading it. And again, you ask questions. You say, well, is that right or not? You can now, I mean, I don't know how many of you use the various online versions and the electronic versions, but you can, you know, for free, it's wonderful. You can have one with a Greek lexicon or Hebrew lexicon, and you can actually find out what the Greek word is that's being used and what its various interpretations are. And so you can say, oh, it's been interpreted as this word, but actually it could be this, this, or this. And actually this fits a bit better. Yeah, I think that's what actually, yeah, that helps me understand what's being said. So that's a good way to do it. I was going to just give you a couple of Revelation passages for me. I've got two of them, and they're about characters. We love to slot people into place and say, this person is like this, this person is like that. And as Bernie says, this story is about that. When actually there are multiple interpretations and they can speak to us differently at different times. So my first one is John 20, beginning at 25. Page 1089 if you're using a Pew Bible. And I'm following on, really, from Tim. And I think we're, you know, already finding in the little bit of preparation that the five of us have done, is that we're beginning to already kind of connect, and God's just giving us things that are bringing things together. It's quite impressive, really. John 20, verse 19. I'm going to read through to 29. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." As a small aside, in verse 20, it says the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. If you look in the lexicon, saw, the word can mean perceived, understood, recognized. So it wasn't just they saw him with their eyes, it's that they recognized him for who he was. But the main point of what I'm going to say is, if you only read John's Gospel, you have the perfect example of doubting Thomas. And that's what we all think. Doubting Thomas. But actually, I think he was honest and believing Thomas. Because actually, if you read what Luke says, who gives a fuller account of Jesus appearing to the disciples, you find the rest of the disciples were exactly the same as Thomas was. Luke 24, verse 36, page 1062. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. So all the disciples had the same doubts as Thomas. But there's one difference. The disciples were overjoyed, but only Thomas is recorded as saying, "Jesus, you are my Lord and you are God." No one else anywhere else says that. And that was a bit of revelation to me. And I keep finding often that people who are pigeonholed as being like this or like that actually aren't necessarily so. And things are much deeper. More recently, again reading around Easter, this time during our Lent series we've just had, I was brought up short by Martha. Martha and Mary, spiritual Mary, practical Martha, saved by works Martha. That's what we all know, isn't it? That's what we understand, that's what we think of, because Martha was busy in the kitchen, but Mary went and sat at Jesus' feet, and Jesus said, "Mary is doing the better thing." John 11, verse 20, page 1078. This is the time when Lazarus has died. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." There's faith. She knows that whatever Jesus asks, the Father will give him. She still has hope. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." There's a good bit of theology for you. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." That's recorded only one other place by one person, and that was Peter. And that's the one we know, isn't it? Peter is the one who declared that Jesus was the Messiah. But here, hidden away, where we don't notice it, is Martha saying exactly the same thing. So I wouldn't say that Martha was a saved by works person. I wouldn't say that she was the one who was always fiddling around and not being spiritual. It really shows that the people that you read about aren't necessarily what you've picked up during sermons. I think it's important that when we preach, that we actually look for new things, not just trot out what everyone else says, not just look at the commentary and say, "Oh yeah, the commentary says this," because commentaries often are very biased, I have to say. I've looked at a few of them. And sometimes I look at the verse and I say, oh, I wonder what's that mean? Why is that there? I look in the commentary and it tells me about what happened before, about a bit after, but the interesting bit isn't mentioned. So you have to do your own research, and it's worth doing. And usually the answer is somewhere else in Scripture. And with the resources that we have nowadays, where you can just go to your Bible program and tap in a search word and come down with all the verses with that word in it, that is so useful. And I'm hoping that through this series, what we're going to do is help us all get the tools to be able to study the word better, to find out how to dig a bit deeper, how to question. I've forgotten the next bit I was going to say. Do talk to us about what resources you want. There is a page on the St Mark's website. If you look at the St Mark's website, which is stmarksgillingham.org, there is one of the choices along the top in the menu is resources, and you click on that, and down comes the option at the bottom is the Bible teaching series. And go to that, and there's a page where it talks about what we're doing, and hopefully we can post up resources there for things. So when we're teaching on a particular book, we can give some notes, and there'll be a recording of the evening, so you can, if you've missed one, you can listen to all the questions and answers as well as the teaching bit. Because what we're trying to do is resource everybody, give you the chance, and hopefully inspire you to really dig deep and question and find the answers in Scripture. Back to David, I think.